Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just after 4 o'clock, it is almost Beltway Blitz time on Grant and Danny. We've got some breaking Commanders news we'll get to in just a minute. As promised, caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're going to win two tickets to Iron Maiden, the Future Past World Tour. The show is Tuesday, November 12th, CFG Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. We are live today at Sports and Social Bethesda. It's our Friday field trip series. It has been really a lot of fun these last several weeks.
So cool.
To not only see a lot of listeners we've known over the years, but also to meet a bunch of new listeners, many of them today, as we are not frequently out here in Maryland. It's been just a treat, and this venue is fantastic. Giant screens, sports on every TV. They know what they're doing out here. The food is fantastic.
Yep.
Our guy Larry just dropped off a plate of wings for me. He knows I'm a wings guy, so I got some buffalo wings to eat. They've been great.
Pretty fantastic. Got my hot water for my tea, and I had a bunch of French fries with their special seasoning on top. Larry heard me compliment them, so he just brought me another plate along with the cheese sauce. He already knows his job is to make me fatter, and he's done that. This place kicks ass.
Yeah, this whole show today at Sports and Social Bethesda is brought to you by the must-have tailgate item, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Surfside Lemonade and Vodka as well. Available in convenient variety 8-packs. Each can only has 100 calories. Tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bar and liquor store. Must be 21. All right, let's get to some bad news really quickly ahead of the Beltway Blitz. So we'll come back to this when we cover the Commanders in the Blitz in a few minutes, because I don't want to make our guy John Walton wait any longer. But the Commanders have just ruled out Brian Robinson again. I mentioned this about 20 minutes ago. Didn't look very good after practice today. Was hoping maybe that they do another game time decision bit. But how about this now? Maybe a sign that they're keeping him off the field to have him 100% for Thursday against the Eagles in a more important game. But he was supposed to play last week.
Yep.
And then the workout before the game didn't go great. We saw the video of him and Quinn talking. Was ruled out pregame. Everybody assumed a week later, of course, he'd play. No Brian Robinson this weekend for the Commanders,
man,
against the Steelers. More on that in just a couple of minutes. But let's get to our Beltway Blitz. We start on the ice. Huge game tonight for the Caps and the Penguins. And our buddy John Walton will be on the call right here on 106.7 The Fan at 7:30 for a nationally televised game. John, how about the juxtaposition here between the Penguins trying to keep their era together under Crosby and the Caps trying to do the same with Ovechkin? Washington's 9-3 and soaring. Not so much for the Birds.
Yeah, one team's doing this way better than the other, Grant, no doubt about it. And I think if you go back 2 years and you remember when Garnet Hathaway and Dmitry Orlov were traded at the deadline, and it was basically a sign of saying, look, it's time to pivot to the future. You're not going to make a playoffs this year. They didn't even expect to make it last year, but it was done with the idea that you could have a summer like they just had. getting a bunch of new guys in here, seven new players, and all have been assimilated very well, and you had the money to do it. Or 2 years ago, you could have gone sideways and you could have said, hey, you know what? We're just going to keep bringing in veteran players and try and keep the sun in the sky, and that hasn't worked. So right now, for Pittsburgh, they're struggling, and they are in cap hell, really. They don't have any way of getting rid of a lot of these bigger deals, where the Capitals are a lot more nimble and are only going to get better from here. So, yeah, it's kind of an odd juxtaposition is a good word, by the way, that you could put between where Pittsburgh is right now, coming in with 5 wins and 15, and the Capitals, who've won 9 of 12.
Yeah, I just feel so bad for them and their fan base, John. I'm using my sarcastic face, of course. How is Ovechkin doing this? Like, I know I'm not a professional athlete. I'm just a pudgy dude that likes talking to my pal John Walton on the radio. But, like, this morning, when I got out of bed, both of my Achilles areas were so tight that I did this kind of, like, shuffle walk for the first 20 minutes of my day. Ovechkin's, like, 4 years younger than me. He's got goals in 5 straight. How is this possible?
I will tell you that it doesn't get any better, Danny. It's, you know what? That's a great question, and there is no answer except for the fact that he seems superhuman, and he has for 20 years. And now, after scoring goals in 5 straight and being in a game like this, national TV, Pittsburgh in the house, I am here to tell you this is built for him to have a big night again tonight, too. You can just kind of feel these things coming sometimes when it's all going in. He's going to be motivated. That number just keeps shrinking to try and get toward Wayne Gretzky, and there's going to come a time. I mean, I know we talked earlier, even before the season, you know, when are we going to know? Do you think end of this year, beginning of next? And I said, yeah, well, we'll see where we are in Halloween. Well, now that we're here in early November and where he is, I mean, if he's healthy the rest of the way and can produce at a level that is even less than where he has been at since the All-Star break last year, he gets there at the end of this year. And that, to me, is astounding. And, again, yeah, doing it at the age that he is and being able to adjust with new line mates. Dylan Strome is the second coming of Nick Backstrom right now. He's got 19 points. Alexei Protas is doing his part being on that line. But it's number 8 show. It has been, and it will be again here for a while yet, because he is certainly not ready to call it a career anytime soon. He is rolling right now.
John, I want to talk about the kids. I thought they'd be better with the personnel they brought in like everybody else did. What I didn't account for was Connor McMichael breaking out to the extent that he has and Alexei Protas making a gigantic leap. When they paid him what they did this offseason, I kind of scratched the top of my head and said, we sure about this, Mac? And I think he was pretty sure about it. Both of those guys look like stars in the making right now.
Yeah, and Protas first is just so strong and helping to protect pucks. Once they get the puck into the offensive zone, you'll see him sometimes just pinning and holding off defenders and just makes a play, gets it in front, and creates a scoring chance. And then he is willing to look off number 8. Not easy for a young player to do, and he'll do it anyway, and he'll find his way to get points. Dylan Strome has been magnificent between the two of them. And to your point about Connor McMichael, I know that October 29th wasn't that long ago, but if you wind back to that day, the guy who leads the NHL in goals, duh, Alex Ovechkin, he's got 6. There are 3 guys that are tied at 5 since then. Sidney Crosby, funny enough, in town tonight. Jack Roslovic with Carolina, and Connor McMichael. Right, wow. There among the leaders here in the last 10 days. It just the consistency of his game has gotten so much better. The explosiveness with the speed, being able to make plays. And, you know, at the beginning, you're like, oh, Tom Wilson, you know, doing Tom Wilson things, gets off to a great start. But I don't know that we really realized. And by the way, I'm telling you right now, who's going to break out real soon, too, is Pierre-Luc Dubois, because he is all over it and just hasn't gotten any puck luck. He's the one guy that hasn't really been able to get the luck going, and he's on that line. I'm telling you, number 8 is getting real close, too. So you've got 4 lines that are scoring, and it's the new guys, yeah, Protas, McMichael, that have made this team. It's like, yeah, they look like a pretty good team, too. They might be a really good team the way things are going here.
John, great as always, buddy. Have an awesome call tonight.
All right, enjoy the wings, boys.
See you, my friend. That is not a challenge for this duo.
He knows us well.
He knows his guys. Hit that NFL sounder, please, Rhino. My God, that's Zachary Kruger's music, Roto World, to go around the NFL. With all due respect to the folks here in Washington and this Pittsburgh game that's a lot on our minds, Zach, one of the big stories of the NFL this weekend, 49ers Tampa Bay, a lot of people's round one, pick one in fantasy football returns, huh?
Hey, he's returning, allegedly. It seems that it's going to be happening. Christian McCaffrey is expected to play. Poor head coach Kyle Shanahan, and it only took 10 weeks to get here. So if you're, like you mentioned, fantasy, if your fantasy team is hanging on, it's obviously a huge boost for you. If he tanks you, it's probably not going to help you out much, but at least you can enjoy these final few weeks. Obviously huge for the 49ers in a lot of ways. Number one, probably being the fact that Brandon Ayuk has lost for the season after he tore his ACL a few weeks ago. In his first season last year with the 49ers, McCaffrey had a 39% opportunity share, which was third highest in the league amongst running backs. We know he's a do-it-all back. He had over 1,400 rushing yards, over 500 receiving yards, 21 total touchdowns on the season. It's a huge get. Now the question is whether or not those Achilles are going to hold up, and really how severe of an injury was this, and can he play on it at the level that we've seen over the years?
How about the Vikings and the Jaguars? It sounds like Trevor Lawrence is going to be out, which means we get to see Mac Jones again. I wonder for people with Jags in their fantasy lineup if you just punt on everybody this week or what we think.
Let me give you a Brian Thomas Jr. stat here, Grant, because I looked this one up earlier. First of all, let me backtrack. Trevor Lawrence officially questionable on the Jaguars injury report. Doug Peterson said he's probably out, so we're kind of assuming that he is. But to get back to your question on fantasy, and I mentioned Brian Thomas Jr., Brian Thomas, we know, is a rookie stud, 35 catches, 595 yards, and 5 touchdowns this season. Of his 595 receiving yards, 325 of those yards have come on deep targets per Pro Football Focus, which means targets that traveled 20 or more yards in the air. We know that's kind of one of the things Trevor Lawrence does semi-well. Mac Jones, we'll see if he can do it, if he can even air it out the way that he has to Brian Thomas. But his fantasy upside is largely baked into his ability to stretch the field. Over 55% of his receiving yards have come on those deep balls. So it could definitely be risky as far as that goes. And then you have injuries to guys like Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby, both dealing with things. Both of them played through their injuries in Week 9, so it's probably not as concerning as it sounds, but it's a banged-up offense. If Mac Jones can't move the ball, if Brian Thomas Jr. can't do what he does best, it could be a real tough outing against the Vikings and that Brian Flores defense, so I'm sure is ready to eat up Mac Jones if he gets the start.
I've got the Hatred Bowl, or the Danny Rugay Hatred Bowl. Eagles-Cowboys, it affects Washington, obviously. What are you looking for in that game?
I'll tell you this. For those who haven't heard, Jalen Hurts reportedly dealing with an ankle injury for the last several weeks. Nick Sirianni kind of let that one slip out during today's press conference after being questioned about him sitting due to rest. He said it was an ankle injury. Acted like it was on the report. He was corrected, learned it wasn't. Very awkward situation overall for the Eagles. But with that said, Hurts is not at risk of missing Week 10. Neither is Devonta Smith, who did not practice on Wednesday. He got in some sessions on Thursday and Friday. He's good to go. A.J. Brown, knee injury in Week 9. He's good to go. He's off the injury report. And they're going to get Dallas Goedert back in the five games he's played this season for the Eagles. Goedert averaging over 75 receiving yards per game. It's inflated by a 170-yard outing, but it's still one of those other guys they rely on heavily in the passing game. And then real quick, just for the Cowboys side, we know that Dak Prescott is out. We're going to be looking at Cooper Rush getting the start. His splits with CeeDee Lamb, just real quick, 5 catches for 64 yards and under half a touchdown for Lamb in those splits in which Rush started 6 games for the Cowboys in 2022. And CeeDee Lamb, we know he's been with the injury shoulder-wise. He is actually off the report after practicing all week. So they should be good to go. Whether or not the Eagles can get this win against a very beatable Cowboys team is to be determined. But it looks like they're going to have all the pieces in place to do it on both sides, which should make for a pretty fun game.
Zach, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
ZK_FFB on Twitter, writer for Roto-World Football. All right, let's keep it moving and localize the convo. Michael Phillips, the Richmonder. Of course, you also know him from Odyssey Richmond. If you're listening to us on AM 910, FM 105.1 in Richmond, he was on earlier today. Michael, Brian Robinson out again. I'm kind of annoyed by this at this point. He almost played last week. That was Sunday. Then we found out last minute he couldn't go. I think he was surprised. The team was surprised. And now somehow this thing hasn't healed. I guess these soft tissue injuries are just unpredictable.
Well, that's the confusing part, is how close he was last week. I see the big picture, though, and it doesn't bother me at all. There was a coach who used to be here. He talked about what's interesting and what's important, Grant. His name escapes me at the moment, but this game is interesting. It's fascinating. It's two loss teams. It's I would argue, one of the NFL's very best defenses against one of the NFL's hottest offenses. That's fun. That's interesting. And Thursday is important, though. Thursday is about who will be hosting a playoff game this year out of the NFC East and who has the upper hand in that. If there's any reason that playing Brian Robinson Sunday would jeopardize his availability for Thursday in Philly, I'd sign off on this in a heartbeat.
What's the most important thing this weekend to beat Pittsburgh?
I think you got to turn Russell Wilson over, right? If he gets those 50-yard passes, the moon balls, as Chris Collinsworth called him, he's going to get in a rhythm and he's going to win, right? That's the key, is you've got to take those away and then take the ball away. Make him make bad decisions. Make him get antsy. And, you know, it's obviously a very different team, but these guys have handled him the last two times they've played him, the Monday nighter in Landover a couple of years ago, and then against the Broncos last year, the game that came down to the Hail Mary at the end. They've had good game plans. He's rattleable, but if you let him get rolling, he will beat you.
Michael Phillips, Beltway Blitz, G&D, by the way, ruled out for Sunday. If you're just jumping in the car today, Marshawn Lattimore, who hasn't practiced yet, Cornelius Lucas, second straight game he'll miss, Brian Robinson, who we've talked about, and then a little-used tight end who's normally inactive in Colson Yankoff. Another interesting note, though, is that Austin Seibert is questionable, has not been able to practice in full yet. They have signed kicker Zane Gonzalez. What do you think about that?
This one scares me, right? I think there's two of them that I told you I wasn't concerned about, B-Rod. There's two of them that concern me, and one of them is at left tackle, obviously, because we saw what a huge drop-off there was when both Coleman and Lucas were missing from the game a couple of weeks ago. It was a big drop-off, and you know, you can only hang on for so long there. So that one's concerning. And Austin Seibert's the other one, because we saw it this year with the Giants, right? If you let a guy go because you think he's good and then he injures himself on the opening kickoff, you're screwed the rest of the way for the rest of the game. You know, I have total faith in Tress Way as an emergency option, but it's kind of a scary decision if you're Dan Quinn.
How do you expect Washington's defense to play against this Pittsburgh offense? Lately, they've been pretty good. I don't know what's real and what's not because they've had a pretty simple schedule.
Well, I'd say they've been better than other teams against that schedule, though. That's what I point to for optimism, right? You know, they were playing the Panthers, but they did a lot better against the Panthers than other teams have done. They were playing against the Browns, but they dominated them in a way that a lot of other teams haven't been able to do. So that's what I take my confidence from. Dante Fowler's playing really well right now. I think they're coming together in that front seven. That's where I take my optimism here. And, yeah, you know, everybody wants to see Lattimore and is waiting to see Lattimore. But I think holding everybody's positions for this week isn't the end of the world. Noah Igbinoghi has been playing very well. San Ristel's been playing very well outside. I'm excited for the day when they can maybe move to a more natural position. But I do have confidence in them right now.
Michael, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Take care. Enjoy the field trip.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, it has been a good one already. Sports and Social Bethesda is where we are today. Come on out and say hello. We're over in Rockville on G&D, a rare trip into Maryland that has been excellent to this point. We're out here for another couple of hours until 6:30. We'll scout the Steelers with Max Starks, former player turned radio analyst. He is a Logan Paulson of Pittsburgh, essentially.
Gotcha.
He will be on the show at 5 to help us learn about the Steelers. Next, let's go over under. Grab some of the FanDuel props. You know, I'm a big FanDuel guy. We're in a FanDuel Sportsbook here.
Oh, we
no
are?
Less.
Look at that, yeah.
Yeah, they got the FanDuel Sportsbook right over there.
That's right there.
We're going to go over under with some player props, make our predictions for how the Steelers-Commanders game is going to play out. Also, more reaction on the fallout of no Brian Robinson. That feels like a pretty big deal against Pittsburgh. That is next on Grant and Danny.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny at Sports and Social in Bethesda. We are live on the fan. The Maryland crowd is showing out. We appreciate you guys. Good news, bad news situation. Good news is the Commanders have a chance to be 8-2 for the first time.
That is good.
Since 1991,
yep.
By the way. Your boy was 3 years old. I think Momar just left. Momar is like a 6'7" dude in our fantasy.
You'd know him if you saw him because he's 6'7".
Yeah. He looks like he should be playing in the league. But he looks like a left tackle, honestly. Like, he really does.
Yeah.
But he was standing next to me. He's like, I was born 8 days after the 1991 Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
And I was like, so this is the embodiment of what the last time they were this, basically, is this 6'7" man next to me who's 32 years old. But I bring this up to say, think about this. If they beat the Steelers at home on Sunday, they will be 5-0 at home for the first time since that 91 Super Bowl year. And if they are 8-2, it'll be their best 10-game start since they were 10-0 in 1991. Now, they were 8-2, just if you want that exact record, in 1986. But they have not gotten off to this good of a start if they beat the Steelers since the Super Bowl year in 91, which is a Redskins team, by the way.
That's among the three or four best teams in history. Redskins teams in history. Yeah. Teams in history.
Widely debated as arguably the best team of all time.
They were an absolute buzzsaw. Every word that you want to use for great, the wagon, the bandwagon, the freight train, the buzzsaw, that's what they were. They didn't just beat teams. They destroyed teams. That's the company you're in.
Yep.
In a league of parity. This is a different league than it was then. In a million different ways, both in terms of the advent of things and the complex designs and how teams prepare and offense and fantasy football and everything that's changed the sport in a million ways. But most importantly was free agency. The modern era of free agency really started a couple years after that, was really the biggest reason why Gibbs kind of departed for the first time. He's like, the way that I do this, the way that I've done it for so long, I no longer have that built in. So since then, where you now have more parity than you've ever had, they're getting off to that kind of a start. Wild.
Let's take a look at some of the FanDuel props, see how we think this game's going to play out. And this changes a little bit with the news of the last half hour.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson has been ruled out again. The thumping sledgehammer tailback for this Commanders team that is their RB1 will not play. Now, last week, that was not much of an issue, although I will say that they were not as good running the football as they have been most of the year with running backs. They did enough. They kind of kept on humming. They wore the Giants down. Second half of the game, they beat them into submission.
Got going in the fourth there, yeah.
Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols to a lesser extent, and Chris Rodriguez, we had on the show on Monday, broke out. 11 carries to lead the team with over 50 yards as the B-Rob, so to speak. They will not have Robinson again. So that means presumably more Rodriguez. That means more Eckler. And we'll see if McNichols is still kind of the third guy like he was last week or if he gets back to toting the mail like he had earlier in the season when there were injuries. But let's look at some of the FanDuel props, go over or under, see how we think this game's going to play out with Pittsburgh. We bring on our producer to give us those props. Daris, I'm not allergic to shellfish or peanuts, Dameron.
That would be me. Let's start with the passing props. We'll start with quarterback one, Jaden Daniels. His passing prop is set at 220 yards and a half passing.
That's right around where I've got him. These folks in Vegas or right down the street from me here are good at this. I think he goes over, but slightly. I don't think this is a huge passing day for Jaden Daniels. I think there's going to be a lot more quick stuff, a lot more short stuff to negate a lot of that pass rush and danger from Pittsburgh.
I think he goes slightly under as well. I think this is like a 208 to 215-yard day for Jaden Daniels. I also don't know how much longer developing stuff you're going to want to try to do down the field vertically against this Steelers pass rush. We've talked a lot about T.J. Watt, who's the best defensive player they'll play this season. He's not the only guy, though. Highsmith on the other side of the formation. Cam Hayward in the middle of the defensive line. They've got four really good players up front who can win one-on-one. So I'm not going to ask a ton of my line, my pass pro. It's going to be more of a short and intermediate passing day. They're going to need yards after the catch to get over 220. I'll say under.
And don't forget, they're rotating in our old friend Preston Smith in that rotation as well. The other quarterback on the other side is Russell Wilson. They have it set at 211.5 passing yards for Russell.
Over here. I think this is one of those where they're going to be concerned about stuffing Najee Harris, stuffing the run game, and you might have a little bit of a Zay Flowers situation. I think George Pickens has a nice afternoon. I think Wilson ends up right around 225.
I'll say under. We just had Charles Davis on. Remember, Charles Davis gave a wild stat. He said they're averaging something like 147 yards given up to quarterbacks over the last several weeks. They've done a pretty good job avoiding that. I would rather give up gains on the ground to Najee Harris. I would rather give up plays between the tackles and give that rather than the big plays through the air if I'm Washington. They are ranked 31st against the run and 21st against the pass. I think they prioritize defending the pass again. Try not to let Pickens beat you with anything over the top. So, yeah, let's say they go under there with Russell Wilson.
With the injury to Brian Robinson, all the running back props for the Commanders are now gone. But we do still have Jaden Daniels' rushing prop, which is set at 46.5 rushing yards.
So last week, without Brian Robinson, Daniels was not quite as effective, I would say. 8 for 35, 4.4 a pop. They did a really good job against him. There was a 16-yarder in there as well. So that means he had basically 7 for 19 otherwise. I'm going to go over, though. I think he pops one. Here's why. Mm-hmm. I think the pass rush of the Steelers is so good one-on-one on the tackles that they get up the field to try to, you know, that's a T.J. Watt strip sack. You've seen it coming around the edge. He gets a little greedy on one play. There's a crease. Daniel slips through, and there's real estate.
There's a crease, man.
There's a gleam, man. I think that's an over. I think he hits something 25, 28 yards. I think he runs for in the 60s.
I am so annoyed because what you did is you took my thunder and you put it right in your pocket. Quite literally what I was about to say. Normally, I go under because I think that's what everybody's concerned about. I think every team they play is going to try to limit his rushing totals, which leads to other things, other guys being successful. This is a escape from the pass rush and scramble rushing total game for Jaden Daniels. Not a design run, which I think Pittsburgh will stuff. They're too well coached, too accountable after a bye week. They know exactly what's coming. They know you better than you do. I think this is a run for dear life. What should be a sack turns into a 14, 15-yarder. I think he runs more than he has in any game since week one, and it won't be by design. I think he goes over that total right around 55 yards.
The opposing running back is Najee Harris. They have him set at 58.5 rushing yards.
I got over here. I think this little bit of a spoiler about how I think the game is going to go. I think we'll have plenty of attempts and a chance to go over here. I think they're going to have a lead and go early and often than Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think over as well. I think it's either very close or Pittsburgh's leading for some of the game, and that means rushing attempts, presumably. So that's what they want to be. That's what they want to do. They want to get him involved. They're going to keep him out of a bye week, kind of getting back to, hey, what do we do well? What do we want to be? I think oftentimes out of a bye week, you see almost that week one plan again for a team where they go, all right, we've gotten away from our identity a little bit. Not to say that they have. They've been good on offense. But they're going to want to come out and establish him again. I think he goes over pretty handily.
On to the receiving props. Number 17 on the field, number one in your hearts, Terry McLaurin, set at 57.5 receiving yards.
When in doubt, you go over on Terry McLaurin. The one thing this offense has done way better over the last month and a half than they did in the first few weeks of the season. Almost everything else has been a juggernaut since the jump. But early in the year, Terry McLaurin was just not that involved. Remember, he averaged 8.5 and 3.7 yards a catch on 8 catches for like 40 yards over the first two games of the season. Since the Bengals game when he went 4 for 100 with a touchdown, he has broken out week in and week out. Last week was the first time that he really didn't do much in terms of targets and catches. He still caught 2 touchdowns. Those were his only 2 catches of the game. Those were his only targets, really, that were catchable on the field in the game. I think they recommit to him. They get back to involving him. It'll be a big McLaurin day. I'm going to say 7 or 8 targets, 5 or 6 catches for somewhere around 70 yards.
He has been under this total 5 times, and I believe he's been over this total four times. Just tells you how evenly split it's been for McCorn. It's been a bit of feast or famine. Several big games, several games. Not quite like last week. That was unique. Two catches, two tutties. But to me, I think, again, out of the bye week, Pittsburgh knows we're taking away 17. That's our entire plan. I think that's the thing written on their whiteboard. I think that's the last thing they say in their little team meetings. Everybody gets together. Defensive backs, come on in. Hey, coach, one more reminder. We're taking away 17. I think this is an under. I think it's a chance for other guys, hopefully, to thrive.
Mr. Hail Mary himself, Noah Brown, has his receiving prop set at 31.5.
I'm going over that as well. I know I just went over on McLaurin, but he's really the one guy that everyone has to try to defend. And then, you know, otherwise you get in where you fit in this receiving core. That's three catches for Noah Brown. That's what you're talking about. He runs those 15 to 17 yard dagger routes, middle of the field, in breaking kind of digs. He runs two of those and then catches something back shoulder down the field on the sideline. That's 3 for 45 pretty seamlessly. I will say he goes over that.
So you're seeing my game script, how I think it's going to play out. I think McLaurin is under, which means other guys are going to feast like a Thanksgiving meal. I think Brown goes over.
All right, and then the last one I got is Zach Ertz, tight end one, 28.5 receiving yards for Zach Ertz.
I was really surprised last week at how little he ended up getting used.
Which of his one catch for 5 yards was his best catch?
I think it was the one.
Okay.
You remember the one I'm talking about?
The 5 yard one?
Yeah. Remember that catch?
I remember it because I had started him in fantasy.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go for you?
I went, that's a half point plus one. That was 1.5 points.
1.5 points, yeah. So I routinely go under with him just because he's a catch and fall player. But my thesis for this game is it's going to be tough for McLaurin to get going. Other guys are going to have a chance. I do think Ertz gets a couple here and there.
The last one I got is wide receiver one for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mr. Jump Ball, George Pickens. They have it set at 59.5.
I'll go over. He's going to go for 60 or 70 yards, but I don't think he's going to make or break the game. Like, whether or not you can eventually end drives by stopping short yardage plays, whether you can hit and get to Russell Wilson, force him into a mistake or two, a sack, fumble, an interception, something like that, that's going to be the determinant here, not Pickens. But I do think he goes over 59 and a hook.
I think he has a huge game, unfortunately. I think this is like a 7 for 90 with a touchdown kind of game for Pickens. They're not going to be able to cover him. I think he goes way over.
That is how we take a peek at the FanDuel props. By the way, there's screens here, giant screens, where you can even see all the games and the odds as part of their FanDuel Sportsbook out here at Sports
so
and Social
good.
In Bethesda, which is very, very cool. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're live. We'll be here until 6:30 in Rockville at Sports and Social Bethesda. Stop by and say hello. We're taking you up to 6:30 live on the Fan. The Caps play tonight against the Penguins. Then you got Commanders and the Steelers on Sunday. This whole weekend's about whooping up on Pittsburgh. We'll talk to Max Starks to scout the opponent at 5 o'clock. Next, our favorite NFL games of the weekend outside of the Washington matchup right here on The Fan. G&D welcoming you back to Sports and Social in Bethesda, where we're out and about. It's a Field Trip Friday, live from Sports and Social, brought to you by the Tailgate Must-Have Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, available in convenient variety 8-packs. Each can only has 100 calories. Tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bar and liquor store. Must be 21. No Brian Robinson, bit of a bummer for the Commanders on Sunday, but they are 1-0 without him here. They didn't have him in the second half of Carolina, didn't slow them down. Big difference, though, between playing the Panthers and the Giants and playing the Steelers without one of your better players.
Yeah, this is grown man football stuff. This is, you know, you're kind of built in almost an, like an AFC North image at this stage, right? Where you are playing some power stuff, you are getting downhill, and that's your thunderback, right? That is the guy that makes it uncomfortable for defenders. Like, you're going to take on some punishment. You could bring him to the ground, but he's falling forward. He's getting you that extra half, that extra yard. And those things add up over the course of a game. He is not fun to play against if you're, you know, in that front set. Right, so you mean there's, it's not as if they won't be able to get any forward progress this Sunday without MGP, but it's a slightly different set of, you know, sort of points of emphasis maybe, or different plays. Like, someone's got to be that between the tackles bell cow, and they don't really have a guy that's great suited for that. I mean, your probably best option then maybe Chris Rodriguez again, and maybe you see him earlier in the game given the success he had in the fourth quarter last week.
All right, let's look at some of our other favorite matchups of the week outside of the Commanders and the Steelers, which, if we're being honest, is one of the best games on the slate on Sunday. Some of the other games that tickle my fancy around the NFL, I think Falcons-Saints is actually going to be really interesting. The Saints fired Dennis Allen, got a little dead cat bounce situation here. How many times have you seen this with the interim head coach leading the inferior team? It's not like they'll be good in 3 weeks, but for that first week thereafter where everyone's kind of tightening their shirt, looking to make sure that everything's being done just so, he already has made a couple of these interim head coach changes that you see. He's gone from having the locker room divided up the way that it was to changing where everyone's lockers are. Now all the position groups are with each other. They weren't because of COVID, I guess. He also has implemented more stretching and like little activation periods before their practices. So it's all those very minute things that don't seem like a big deal. But this just reeks of dead cat bounce.
Yeah.
Atlanta's in a golden spot if they can win on the road. They'd be 7-3. They've got the tiebreaker over the Bucs, who they beat twice in the last month. If you beat New Orleans, then they get the matchup with Denver on the road next week before a bye, and they'll be cooking with grease in the
NFC. Yeah, cushy spot, man. Very cushy spot. Their schedule's been forgiving. Yeah, for New Orleans. The reason you weren't winning, of course, is the way the locker room was configured. That's the problem.
It's part of it.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. Big one for me here, GP. There's a couple to choose from, but I'm going to pick Lions-Texans. Give it to me right into my veins, please, and thank you. That's your Sunday night foosball situation. That is a really good game. So Detroit, best in the NFC, maybe in my humble opinion, in this reporter's opinion, the best team in the NFL right now this minute. Houston, very, very good. Not great, though, right? Even with some of their wins early on in the season, they weren't kind of hitting their ground, hitting their stride, so to speak. And they've been beat up with injuries. That kind of thing sort of happens to them. But they're playing at home. They're 3.5-point favorites here. Or 3.5-point dogs to a Detroit team that right now is an absolute buzzsaw. That is a fascinating contest there. Two of the marquee teams.
Yeah, that is by far, in my opinion, the game of Week 10 in the NFL. Because the Lions, for me, are the number one team in the NFL.
Yep.
All apologies to the 8-0 Kansas City Chiefs. I think Detroit right now is the cream of the crop in football. And then the Texans at 6-3. Maybe they haven't played as well as we would have thought along the way, but they keep winning.
Yeah, they're still real good.
And they're going to be a contender in the AFC to try to knock off Kansas City. Another game I'll give you that is very intriguing going into the weekend, San Francisco and Tampa Bay. This is a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday at Raymond James Stadium in Florida. The Niners are coming off of a bye. They get Christian McCaffrey back finally. They're starting to be a little bit closer to what they were supposed to have been this year. It's been ugly. Remember, since week 3, they've alternated losses and wins. Lost to the Rams, beat the Patriots. Lost to the Cardinals, beat the Seahawks. Lost to the Chiefs, beat the Cowboys. And then a bye week. They're very average. They're 4-4. Now you get Tampa Bay on the road, coming off of a bye, a lot of prep, healthier than you've been with McCaffrey. Meanwhile, we said Tampa was going to be done when they lost their top two receivers. And even though they've lost consecutive games to Atlanta and Kansas City,
hadn't been because of the offense.
Not because of the offense, but they also, they have been in these games. They could have beaten the Falcons and didn't. And then they went to overtime with Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium this past week.
Yeah, that Tampa team, you know, they're just trying to hang on for if and when Mike Evans comes back. You know, Godwin's done for the year, but, you know, they're beat up all over the place. Mayfield's actually having a quite great season. Good for him, by the way. Last year, there was kind of that renaissance thing for him. You're going, okay, fine. It was a one-year wonder. Well, he's among the league leaders in touchdown passes and has had to do more with even less. Look out for Cade Otton, who's been a juggernaut over the last couple of weeks for that team, kind of picking up where everybody else left off in the passing game. Divisional game that matters an awful lot here in Washington that they're not in. Eagles, Cowboys. No Dak Prescott. We know that. It's a Cooper Rush game. You never want to have that as the case, but who knows what to expect from Dallas other than, you know, the unexpected here. Nine times out of ten, they probably have a letdown game. Everyone's booing Philadelphia rolls. But then there's that one chance in 100 where, you know, they're just better with a backup quarterback that's been observing things. And, you know, short term, Cooper Rush can play better than Dak Prescott. Long term, of course not. Dak Prescott's the much better player. But maybe you get that sort of, you know, think back to that Todd Collinsy filling in for a short time and the offense hums a little bit. So Dallas, 7-point dogs at home, pretty much fighting for their season. Philadelphia fighting for control at the top of the division.
I think we know what to expect from Dallas, and that is a poor performance against an Eagles team that's better than them. If they are close in this game, it's a Philly thing, not a Dallas thing, in my opinion. It'll say more about the Eagles than the Cowboys, for me, at least. Last game I'll throw out there, Jets playing for their seasons. They don't have any more room for error. They have a chance to still squeak in the playoffs in the AFC at the wild card. They're 3-6, but it's over, Johnny, if you lose in Arizona against the Cardinals. They don't have to run the table, but they got to get close enough to run in the table. And I'll be curious to see if they can start to string some good things together. Cardinals in Arizona this weekend. 5-4. Cardinals, a threat in the NFC West right now because things haven't been going very well in that division, and everybody's been down. So there you go, some of the more interesting matchups around the league this weekend. We'll scout the Steelers with Max Starks next on Grant and Danny out here at Sports and Social in Bethesda. Come say hello, eat dinner with us this evening. You're listening to The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.